was teaching Kriyashma on Tarashraga last night. So Tarashraga is a yeshiva invited him. So teach there on Monday nights. So Tarashraga says it says in the Kriyashma, V'haftas Hashem Alpecha b'chol levavecha or b'chol levavachem. Right, the two bases, Lebavacha, could have said Lipcha, Lebavachem. So the Gemara says famous Gemara means it's the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah Tov. So we're supposed to worship Hashem with the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah Tov. So just to review the most obvious thing, like you're supposed to get rid of the Yetzirah, right? You're supposed to worship Hashem with the Yetzirah. The answer is Yetzirah. The way I understand it is that the Rashba says this in Chayim Rashba, Helotei Simon Nunhei. That's where he says it. He says that Yetzirah, even though it's called Ra, is not a bad thing. It's just something that can lead you to bad. It's not a bad thing out to itself. It's important to know. He says a beautiful idea. He says that the Yetzirah HaTov is here. The Yetzirah is here. So if a person follows their mind, their logic, their thinking, what they know is right, you know, so then they're following their Yetzirah HaTov. A person follows their heart, so then you're following your Yetzirah, like I'm being emotionally pulled to this area. But the other hand is, you know, if you use your mind and not your heart, so then what are you? You just like it says, Chazal say that Esav was, when he was buried, so his body was buried in one place and his head was buried in the Maris HaMachpelah. So what was his head doing in the Maris HaMachpelah? He had a good head. What's wrong with his head? he had a good head. He was a son of Yitzchak. He spoke nicely and he was able to. You know, I mean, I think we have the right picture of Esav. You know, we think about him always in these hunting, monster type of a guy, Hulk. His head was buried right next to Avraham and Yitzchak. It was his head. The problem was that it was off, he wasn't in gear. His head and his heart were not attached. So you can't. Here was my line that I said last night. I said, you can't worship, you can't stand before Hashem with a divided heart. In other words, you can't stand before Hashem with my mind is this way and my heart is that way. You got to be able to integrate the two things, So, but a person that doesn't often, becomes so. What it is, the pronounced chesronos that we see usually are indicative of the very pronounced milos that person has also, if they're at all integrated. Usually you can see that people that have a tremendous amount of ahava, for instance, so parts of that ahava goes wild and it strays to different places, which is very bad. But it's very bad, but that's between him and God. But if you see the person's supposed to take that passion, the word passion has to do with the leg. And if the person has a passion for Yiddishkeit, so that's the Yetzirah, which is good. That's how you use Yetzirah in Judaism, by developing a passion for things.
For shofet, for oil, Yetzirah for blood.
Yeah. But even deeper, just general passion. For a person has a passion for Torah, you can know that person is a dangerous person. You gotta watch that person. But if you keep it in check, so the passion is good.
Dangerous?
Because you can use passion for a lot of, you can make a lot of soap operas out of passion, I'm just saying that if a person has the ability, the capacity for passion. Capacity. If you have a kid, the kid has a capacity for passion. You know that this could be the downfall, or B, this could be the great godless of this person.
Well, they say the kids that are really wild, really wild,
have tremendous potential.
Yeah,
Reb Tzadok says that if you see a kid who's like a huge Baal Taiva, he said that kid has a potential to be a huge Baal Tzedakah.
Wow.
It's not even an obvious,
you
need to be a Reb Tzadok, a philosopher. It's not even an obvious bridge, but it's the capacity for anger, for instance, to lose your temper. Yeah. It's a tremendous, tremendous capacity to react. In Kabbalah it's called the Rosen de Kaddishin, the holy The Chafetz Chaim had a terrible, they had a terrible temper. You know, you look at that picture, you say, that guy? such a sweet, nothing wrong. That was the godless of him. We really do well focusing on what our chesrodos are, figuring out how to use it well. So all this I'm saying because I didn't get my coffee yet.
Yeah.
It was real. So I'd like to speak today about matzah. That was an invitation to Shmuel, of course. Let's speak about matzah. This made me think about matzah, what we're talking about. I was just answering your child's question. The matzah was like this, that Hashem said we're going to go out of Egypt at exactly approximately midnight, and everybody wanted to get some food to go with, some tzeid al aderech, some food to go with, so they baked some breads, and Hashem was so punktlich, he was so exacting in this, that the Torah says that there was no time to waste, there was no time to wait. Lo hispik b'tzeikim to avisenu l'hachim, the bread didn't even rise. And from Eid Chala, you know that it requires time, patience. You gotta let the bread rise. There's no rushing bread, right? And lo hispik b'tzeikim to avisenu l'hachim, and since there wasn't enough time for the dough to rise, and we took it out as it was, and we went onto the desert in the hot sun. It wasn't the hot sun right away because it was midnight, but by the morning there was hot sun. Batsim hayom hazeh. So we got into the hot sun, and it kind of like baked it as a matzah. So we ended up with matzahs, which was a weird kind of like a food, right? With a lot of bread. The desired result was bread. And the final result was matzah. So because of that, we eat matzah on Pesach, and you're not allowed to eat chametz. Matzah is the loy chametz. So this was like the only thing in the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim which was a fluke, right? This is the only thing that went wrong in the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim. Wanted bread, wouldn't end up bread. Bread is better than matzah. You don't think so? You eat matzah all year?
Okay. They eat matzah all year.
Huh?
They eat matzah all year.
Okay, so what they did, the way the Torah tells the story, this was something that went wrong in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the whole celebration of Pesach is about eternalizing and celebrating that which went wrong in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's strange, because of that we eat matzah and not chametz. Like, it should be that, you know, we should eat like a big, thick Wonder Bread on Pesach. You know, Wonder Bread.
Ah!
Nissim. Right. Thank you. Sure, we'll begin in a minute.
That would more exemplify
the
name. That would exemplify the redemption, right?
Well, isn't that what we're celebrating? The redemption.
Right, so therefore...
Yeah, why don't we,
arise?
Redemption was... Like, the question gets more like, as was just said by somebody, I don't remember who, but somebody just said that we ate matzah in Egypt too.
Yo,
did you say that? You davening? Ha lach ma'anya, the Haggadah says, right? I've mentioned this before. Ha lach ma'anya. This is, right. You pick up the matzah. This is the bread of affliction. Bread of affliction. The achlu avasana ba'ara de Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. Where do we eat matzah in Egypt? We ate matzah when we went out of Egypt.
I understand what historically,
those slaves always ate matzah.
Oh, so the answer is, all the Mepharshim say, that is it's just a misnomer and a non-reading of the text. It's not referring at all to the matzah. Holach ma'anya, when we talk about lechem oni, the bread of affliction, the bread of the poor, we're not talking about the matzah that we ate when we left Egypt. No. We're talking about the matzah that we ate in Egypt. So for 200 years, we never had time to let the dough rise. Never had time to let the dough rise. You're a slave. So if you're a slave, you know, it was like the Gemara says, "Kamaychol ben Dustoy," right? You know that Kamaychol ben Dustoy. What's called Bishel on Shabbos? So ben Dustoy was a famous ganav, famous thief. So you know, a thief is, you know, you never eat relaxed. You know, you're looking this way, you're looking that way. Steal a piece of meat, you're looking. Is anybody watching? Throw it on the barbecue. You don't have time. You know, like, would you like that well done? Michael ben Dustoy, the halacha is shlish bishulai, one third of normal cooking. That's what a ganav eats. Ben Dustoy was a ganav that the Chazal knew about. He eats his meat at one-third bishul, so we see that one-third bishul is called bishul, right? So there's no time. None of them don't have time. Slaves don't have time. And then I think the Abarbanel says that the Egyptians made them eat matzah because matzah filled them up in a different type of stage than your stomach longer, as you probably metabolize as quickly as bread does. Stays there, so you're full for longer, so you're less of a hassle. So this is a slave food. So we pick up the matzah. This is a simple shot. We pick up the matzah at the Seder, and we say, this is the first introduction of matzah. We say, Holach Manya, this is Lechemoni. This is bread of affliction that our forefathers ate Ba'arad in the tribe in Egypt. Independent of the fact that, but this makes the question even stronger. So now Hashem wants to do a miracle for us. So for the first time in 210 years, we should have had geshmak of good bread. That would have been the symbol of freedom. The first time in a couple hundred years, they'd have bread. What happens? We thought finally we're going to have some bread finally we're going to have some tremendous wonder bread. And what happens? Lohispik would say, here we are back to the matzah situation. And then we have the celebration of matzah on Pesach, and we commemorate, eat a little bit of matzah. I understand we eat a little bit of maror, we eat a little bit of matzah. I can understand that. But Shivas Yom Teuchel Matzah is Lesechel al Chametz. For 7 days you have to eat matzah because of this. This is a bad thing, the matzah. Right? Hear the kasha? It's good kasha. I mean, it's such a fundamental question on the whole matzah being the centerpiece of the Seder table and the Pesach table. And we're so machmer with this matzah thing, it should rise a little bit, and we go there and the shameless was matzah. It was all like an inefficiency in God's planning, it seems. Lechem sha'onin alav dvarim harbeh. You say a lot of. So here's the question, right? So let me just tell you the simple deep shot, according to everything that we've been learning here for the last few days. That we made a bris. Our family made a kiddush for a granddaughter. So I guess I looked happy. I was holding the baby. I looked happy, right? Mm-hmm. So it's unusual. So somebody said to me, you look so happy. So I'm happy. So he said, there's a cool guy came in, a friend of my son-in-law. He said, how come fathers make a shachianu on a new baby and grandfathers don't? Mm-hmm. Shachianu is a bracha you make on simply. You're so happy. Granddaughter, milestone. So why don't you make a shachianu? Good kasha? So the teretz is that there's no such thing as a legitimate simcha that doesn't have tzar attached to it. It's my shot anyway. So a father and a mother, it's 9 months of pregnancy, can't move, can't sit, can't stand, the tzar haleda. It's the giving birth, the painful situation. Baby, how baby's healthy, the Vilna Gaon says that the biggest simcha in the world is having children. This is in the back of the sitter. And the biggest tsar in the world is tsar gittel banim. The aggravation you can have from children is the biggest aggravation in the world. So the bigger than the illness, bigger than everything else. He says that it's always the case that that exactly according to the amount of simcha that something gives you, that's how much tzar you have. So that would get even deeper. That it's not that simcha has to be born, light has to be born out of darkness. It's the way Hashem created the world, Vayir Vayivoker. Light has to be born out of darkness. So to make a shachyana when it's kulay simcha, you know, your grandchild kulay simcha. You don't have any pain. You don't have any trauma. Baby starts crying. Yeah. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Be changed. I'm out of here. It's simcha without tsar is not the kind of simcha that you can make a shechianu. What we make a yidinu fruit, you can make a shechianu. Why? Because hazorim bedima barina yiksayru. Because if you plant with tears, planting and plowing and dreshing come out with a new fruit. Gevaldik, you know, so the simcha has to, the or has to come out of choshech. The yom has to come out of lila, wow. And simcha has to come out of tzar. That's the way it is. So that's what we learned last week, that the gulas mitzrayim had to come out of the gulus mitzrayim. Had to be. So Yisroi, so here's a vart here. Parshas Yisroi. Yisroi pops up out of the desert after the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? Moshe left home, went to Mitzrayim. All of a sudden, Yisroi. You know, Yisroi, yeah. 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 Like Babish the Pope. You know, like. Blessed memory. Maybe we can get like some Rosh Hashiva to be the Pope. Like a new Pope, you know? Like.
I wouldn't want to sit in the Vatican, personally.
No?
I would. Take everything out.
This needs a black one. Black keep instead of the white one.
Fine. Okay.
Take off that paneling. Restore everything.
Do you know the story with this Pope? Does everybody know the story?
With the one coming in?
He's the first Polish Pope in 300 years. Or first non-Italian Pope in 300 years.
Right.
Another story. One of the stories during World War II.
Yeah, that somebody said to the Pope, you know, I want to tell you a Polish joke. So he says, you want to tell me a Polish joke? I'm Polish. He says, I'll talk to you slowly. Pope joke. No, the story in World War II that you and Elaine were talking about is just an interesting story. That there was a real story that the Blue Shiva Rebbe told. Is it this story we all heard from the Blue Shiva Rebbe? We know the Blue Shiva Rebbe. The Blue Shiva Rebbe told the story. It's a big tzaddik, the Blue Shiva Rebbe. And there was a couple in Krakow, non-Jews, who, worth chazer, you know, a story in Krakow. Where there was a couple, there was a frum family, and when they were deported, so they brought their baby to the neighbor. They were friends with the baby, with the neighbors that were Catholics, and they brought the baby there, and they said, can you take care of the baby? You know, we're gonna die. So they took care of the baby, and the war went through. And when the war was over, the baby was about 2 years old or something like that. So they went to the priest. And they said that, you know, we got this baby, you know, let's baptize the baby, you know, baptize it properly. So the priest said, where did you get the baby from? So there was a Jewish couple, you know, and they died like so many other millions of people died, and they died, and they left us with this baby, and we're bringing up the kid, and, you know, we've been taking good care of him. And so the priest said, did they make any stipulations with you regarding the bringing up the baby? So like, what do they feel about like having the baby baptized? So they said to us that under no circumstances should you baptize this child. The people said, yeah, under no circumstances should you baptize this child. Just take care of it. But the priest said, so what's so if they made a queer tznai not to baptize the child, so what are you baptizing the child for? Well, you shouldn't do it. You should honor their last request. So they were shocked by it. They didn't know what to do. So he said. They said to him, what should we do with the baby then? So they said, you should give it back to the Jewish community, let them, you know. And he called the Blue Shiva Rebbe. was rebel was in Krakow at that time. He called the Blucher Rebbe and they said, we have this baby, and told him the whole story. And the Blucher Rebbe gave him a bracha, the young priest. He said to him that you will become the Pope.
Wow.
You see, we're behind everything.
Wow.
So I think this Yaffa Elyach wrote this book, so she spoke once at Bais Shul in Muncie. I don't know if it was the book or not. She's famous. What's it called? Tales of the Holocaust? City Tales of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So she's famous for having verified every single story in the book. Like, not just that, but the Bais. She's famous. So somebody asked her if the story is a verified story. So she said that she wrote to the Vatican. Sent the story into the Vatican and went through their press things and everything. And she's looking for verification, is it true or not true? And the church said that we can't say it's true and we can't say it's not true.
Huh.
They must have gone to yeshiva someplace. It's true and it's not true. So, if it's not true, say it's not true.
Right.
At least it's hanging, but we know, of course, it's true because we heard it from the Blucher Rebbe. No question about it. We even know who the kid is, apparently.
Wow.
Blucher Rebbe knew who the kid was. A Hasidish kid. It's a real kid. Okay, so Yisro the Pope comes to greet Moshe in Midbar and says, "Wow, you know, unbelievable." The Yomer al Moshe, he said to Moshe, "Ani chosemcha Yisro." I'm Yisro. Apparently, he had to reintroduce himself. Boy Lefa, we're coming to see you. Ishtako Shnebo Naima. And Moshe went out to greet him and gave him kavod. Vayishtachu, he bowed down to him. Vayishakla, he kissed him. Vayishalu ish, v'reyeh l'sholom. They reminisced, how are things going? Yavo, unbelievable, right? Moshe Rabbeinu took Yisro into his tent. This was a huge kavod. There's millions of Jews. He took this Yisro out and took him into. By Sapper Moshe Lachosnes Kol Asher Asa Hashem Leparil of Mitzrayim, and Moshe told him the whole story, of where he was and how Hashem helped him take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. The whole story. It's Kol Atzla Hashem Atzasam Adarach, all the issues, by Yatzilim Hashem and how Hashem saved him. But Yisro, when he responded, he said, "Vayomer Yisro, Baruch Hashem." Blessed be the God, Asher Hitzil Escha Miyad Mitzrayim Miyad Paro, that can save you from Mitzrayim, from Paro, Asher Hitzil Escha Amitach Asher Mitzrayim, and he saved the people. Ati Yadati, now I know, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Ho'elohim. Now I know that this is the real God. I mean, he could pull off a thing like that. This is the God which is higher than all the other gods. How do I know? Not because of the great miracle. This is the key sentence here. Anybody know by heart? How do I know? Tony Hudalei be sleeping. How do I know? Ki badavar asher zadu aleihem. Which means?
The thing that they plot against them. We mean Amalek.
So Rashi says, ki badavar asher zadu aleihem, because it was the thing which they plotted against them. Okay. Rashi says, Kitargumai. Like the Targum says, Bamayim dimu la'abdam, v'hei nevdu bamayim. Here's what Yisro was like really taken with. That the Egyptians figured they're going to do away with the Jews with water. What are they going to do? Threw the Jewish kids in the water. And what happened? Or like the Zohar says, it was a direct punishment. Direct punishment. You threw Jewish kids in the water, you're all going to be destroyed with water. It wasn't. You don't need a Zohar for this. It was. I don't know if anybody makes the connection. The downfall of the Egyptians were with water. They thought that the downfall of the Jews would be with water. Put back here. instead of the fact. What saved Moshe Rabbeinu?
Water.
Asher Zadu, Rashi says, Asher Hishiyu. That which they were Rishayim in, so that's what got them, came to haunt them. Rabbeinu Darshuhu, the Chazal learned, Lashon Vayizad Yaakov Nazid B'dera Sherbishluba. Yaakov made a bowl of beans. What Vayizad? What's the connection? B'kedera Sherbishloi Ba Nisbashlo. In the pot that they were cooking, they got cooked in. The Gemara in Sotah Yud Aleph. In other words, it's like Haman. You know, like not just that Haman got killed, that would have been good. You know, Haman got hung, that would have been better. But the tree that he set up for Mordechai was the tree that he got hung on. The pot which they prepared for the Jewish people, meaning the Nile and the water and let's kill the Jews. So that was what worked against. So it's interesting, like Moshe tells Yisrael the whole Maisa, you know, Ten Makos and the whole Maisa, and Yisrael is taken with. Yisrael's a deep man, and he's taken. He says, apparently the Medrash says that, you know, okay, different gods can do different miracles in Yisrael's thinking. You know, there's different powers in the Bria, and there's different types of Kishuv. But this he was impressed with, that exactly the water that the Egyptians went down with water, that he was impressed with. That was exactly what they wanted to get the Jews. In other words, the Mida Keneged Mida, but I think it's deeper than Mida Keneged Mida. That what it means is that for the Jews, at one time, water represented the greatest nightmare in their lives. In other words, you know, like what did mothers think when they walked by the Nile? They think, oh, it's pretty. They thought there's Jewish blood in that Nile. You know, and there still is Jewish blood in the Nile. You know, so, you know, there was this psychological factor of looking at the Nile, which was like, you know, I can never look at water again. Water is the enemy. You know, what do I have? You know, it's horrible, right? You can understand that, right?
Sure.
What ended up being the Yeshua for the Jewish people? Water. So the pshat is the pshat is that light comes out of darkness. That's the pshat. The pshat is that the or comes out of the choshech, and the geula comes out of the golos. That's what we have to understand. The geula comes out of the golos. The golos was a golos of mayim, and the geula dafka came out of mayim. So what Yisrael saw was a deep thing over here. What Yisrael saw was that it's not just like that became light. That the choshech itself was the ingredient of the or. Like, so that theologically, to Yisrael, why was he so taken with this? Because usually, this is my svar. I think this is a good svar. Usually you say, I could see the greatness of God in the light. And there are times that I can't see the greatness of Hashem in the darkness. So I'll kind of live with the darkness and wait for the light. Or instead of living with the darkness and the light, I'll you know what many people what the dualists did and the Zoroastrians did and we spoke about it times is there must be two gods. There's a god of darkness. There's a god of light. They have to deal. Everybody has to deal with the darkness. So Yisrael, who has studied every Avodah Zarah, the whole Masechta Avodah Zarah very very clearly, right? He knew every Avodah Zarah. The real issue of all the Avodah Zarahs and all the religions and all the Goyim and all the things that Yisrael studied was all a problem. There was all a problem with darkness, or in contemporary terms, why do the righteous suffer? In Talmudic terms, tzaddik v'raloi. Tzaddik v'raloi. Shtei rishuyos. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Brachos, often if somebody says modim, modim, mishatkin osa. Somebody says modim twice, get him off the bima there. Because obviously he's thinking he's a dualist, Satanist. Right? That was the obvious theological answer. It was the only theological answer. So Yisrael, who's searching for godliness, you know, all the time, is always stuck. Who's got the answer to darkness? And Ata Yadati, but now I know, says Yisrael, that your God is greater than all of the other gods because B'davar Asher Zadu Aleihem, that the darkness became light. Choshech Orli, The darkness became light. The geula of Mayim came from the galus of Mayim. So the symbol, let's leave it on this thought. The symbol of Pesach is matzah. So it's such an unbelievable thing that on the one hand, like matzah, like it was like the nightmare. Yeah. This is what we ate for a couple hundred years because we didn't have time to make some good bread. You know, just dying for a piece of bread. But all of a sudden, the matzah, which was the symbol of slavery, the Nile, the nightmare of the Jewish people, became the bracha and the Yeshua. Why are we eating matzah today when we get out of Egypt today? Because we're so rushed into freedom, and we're so rushed into geula, so that the bread couldn't turn into matzah. So it couldn't turn into bread. So what it means is that exactly the problem that we had all the years, the symbol of the problem that we had all the years, this lousy bread, right, all of a sudden became the symbol of geula. It's not by accident. It was b'davar asher zadu, exactly that which. So we start off the Seder and we say halach ma'anya. Look, here's the bread of affliction, the achlav son of Aaron Divitzar that we ate all the years. And you have to have all those halachas of affliction. We have to put it. We put a matzah is umbrariv yoichlu. You eat the matzah together with the bar. But that is another aspect of matzah. There's another aspect of matzah, which the avdus itself, the slavery itself, the symbol of slavery, became the symbol of freedom. So this is what we have to. I think this is whatever Seder you're in. This should be the theme, in my humble opinion. The theme is that we don't have liberation and freedom like everybody else does. What we do is what we retroactively we understand that the darkness was l'tov. Atayadati. Now I know, when I see the geula, now I know that all of the good came out of the bad. And that there was really no bad. And what's the key word here? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Echad. It's all the same thing. Hashem, Midas Arachmim Elokeinu, Midas Adin, Echad. You pick up the matzah, you see Hashem Echad. That's what you see. You see the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see how there's a plan. Sometimes it takes a couple hundred years till you know. You know, sometimes you can see it immediately, sometimes 20 years tells the story, sometimes you need a couple hundred. I remember I once had this huge fight with somebody, this huge argument with somebody, and it caused me a tremendous amount of damage. And I was complaining to Rav Scheidberg about it just years ago. I said, like, you know, this is not right. Like, you know, this is my point. This is my point. So he said, you're right. So I said, he told me I'm right. So he said, so I said, so if I'm right, why did I lose? Like, the truth is supposed to win at the end. He says, it will. He says, but sometimes it takes 300-400 years. Okay. I'm looking at my. we want immediate results. Not everybody sees the immediate results. But what you do have is the Haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem Echad, that it's all a type. You don't have to wait for something else to happen. It's all a type. If we could digest that, then if we could digest the matzah, we can digest anything, right? Okay, yeah. Would you
say it's a similar concept.